Hello, everyone. Welcome to ABA Business Leaders Podcast brought to you by 3Pi Squared. Today, we have a very exciting guest. Today with us, we have Michael Gao from Alpaca Health. So welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me, guys.
He's got some really cool tools and really cool tools, really, in the AI world. And we're very excited to see what he has to show us. Some of this is going to be new to us as well. And, as busy clinicians, business owners, BCBAs, that paperwork. AI takes up a lot of time and a lot of effort. And, let's face it, we don't get to bill for enough of that,
Yeah.
So Michael's going to show us some of his new shiny tools that maybe would help us out.
Yeah, and I think like a big part of this too, and Michael, maybe you can talk about this too. I assume for a lot of people, it's like they have to make that decision of which parts of the assessment do I speed through in order to get ongoing services complete. And maybe, like, I know most people are like, you know what, this is going to take me 6 months anyway, so I'm just going to get through the assessment so that I can get ongoing therapy. So then over that time period, I'll update my treatment plan and it will actually be what I'm working on. So I'm assuming that this may help BCBAs not miss important things that they may overlook, but also give them that ability to do a more thorough initial assessment so they don't get off on the wrong foot, right? Parents probably would be more upset, right? Because they're not working on the right things or the things that they wanted to work on. And they also may lose interest from the client, right? This, the whole way that insurance kind of forces us to, do this really sets us up on the wrong foot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, thank you guys so much for having me. But everything you said so far is, I think, exactly why we started Alpaca and what we think that Alpaca Assistant and the rest of the modules and products are releasing over the next few months can solve. I mean, like when I went to ABA, it was extraordinary to me how many times when I asked people, what is the worst part of your job? They always said notes, documentation, the treatment plan, for all the reasons you said, right? It's often unbillable. It takes more time than it's allotted. It's this big, long treatment plan, only part of it that's truly clinical. The other parts of it are just summaries of our documents. So the hope absolutely is that our tool can automate a lot of that tedious documentation so that clinicians in the field can just focus on what they signed up to do, which is do clinical work.
So just a curious question. How did you get into this space?
Yeah, it's a great question. I came from an education background. So before this, I built an online education company. We worked one-on-one with high school students on tutoring, on SAT, ACT prep, on choosing colleges. And in that world, and I think a lot of people have this story too, right, is you often work with kiddos with learning differences, students who were on the spectrum, thinking about college choices, what college is the best environment for me, is college the right environment for me? And so these were conversations that I had with parents and families in high school. And it soon became very clear to me that it was very little we could do at that point. It was like fighting for 30 minutes extra on the SAT, which is important. And I think did well for students who got that additional time. But the clinical side of ABA is starting early, right? 0 to 5, the impact is so much more. And I was excited to learn more about the clinical side earlier this year. Went to ABAI, just talked to a lot of people and thought there was some really interesting tools and technologies we can create to support providers in their work.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I think another, well, and we can kind of get into this, but AI is kind of scary, right? I know when I'm using ChatGPT, I don't know, it was maybe a month ago. My doctor had prescribed me this medication, right? And I was like, I don't know if I should take this. And so I was like, okay, ChatGPT, what are the side effects of this medication? And I'm like, there's no side effects there. It's great. And then it was like, okay, I'm going to Google it. And then you see all these side effects. And then I pasted that into ChatGPT and it was like, you're right. There are a lot of side effects. And it's like, oh my God, right? Like, so that's, I think, a concern for a lot of people, right? Like ChatGPT seems to be positioning itself to be agreeable, which maybe sometimes is a good idea, but especially when you're involved in trying to make a research and scientific data, and you're wanting to make sure that you're providing the right treatment at the right time, you don't really want somebody to agree with you, right? You wanna take this and
the facts.
You want the facts, and yeah. So I think that, at least from my experience, you can really get an AI to tell you whatever you want, right? So So there is some concern there. So like, what is it? How does your system work? And then how do you kind of remove those issues? Because I've seen your system. I mean, it works very well. So how did you remove that? How do you continue to improve on that?
Well, it's a really great question. And it's the reason why anytime you Google, how do I get rid of my headache? It leads you down a rabbit hole that says you have brain cancer. Right? Googling and the WebMD rabbit hole, the equivalent is asking ChatGPT about healthcare and medical related symptoms, and that taking you down a rabbit hole of untruths. I think that the challenge with search in general, and now new AI technology, when it comes to things that you have to get right. If I asked about George Washington's birthday and I got the date slightly wrong, whatever, right? Who cares? But this is like really important information that if you just type into GPT, it'll give you some response that it generates in this black box. And what's difficult for average end users is you don't know which AI model is more correct for this type of question, right? Some AI models are better at answering factual questions via the search of the web. Others are better at more reasoning questions, like you asking it a puzzle or a brain teaser, a math question, a complicated problem in your business to get suggestions. And so for you as an end consumer, you're not going to have five different AI search things open, and you use OpenAI here and Google Gemini here and maybe Claude over there. You're just going to use one of them, even if it's not the best at the specific question that you're asking. And so that's one of the ways that we have really tailored our solution, is we are a HIPAA compliant layer over all of those AI models, directing queries and prompts to the right AI model to get back the right response, and also grounding all the responses from the technology from things that you have told the AI about your client, or things that the client has uploaded through client records and documents. So it's not making things up out of thin air, it's grounding it in the truth of the interviews it's listening to, the documents that it's reviewing.
Yeah, I was using another instance of ChatGPT got wrong. I was using it to update the copy on my website, right? And I said, and I had posted a bunch of the referrals we got or testimonials we got, and I said, okay, just use these and kind of do that. And then I was noticing as it started doing the testimonials, I was like, I don't remember this one. This is a really good testimonial, right? And I was like, who sent this one? And he's, oh, I just made that up, right? And it's just, it's wild what it will do, right? And then there are days where I'm just like, everything seems to be going well, and then I'll come back and I'll do the exact same prompts. And then it's just like, what happened to you? Like, where is my awesome worker that I just had yesterday? Right? It's weird how it works. So, yeah, I think so. You're using multiple versions of AI within your system to kind of hopefully get to the base. Is that how it works? And then using whatever inputs they have put in with that specific client.
Exactly. It's sort of an infrastructure around just asking ChatGPT a question, because we know that just asking ChatGPT as a question has a lot of problems and errors. Here's maybe another example to make it even more tangible, is sometimes we ask the same question to AI multiple times until our system determines that it's actually accurate. So we ask it something, our system is able to detect that there is an issue, that there's a problem, that there's an inaccuracy. And then we feed it back into AI and says, nope, you're wrong. You missed this. You added this thing that wasn't present in the documents. Try again. And we keep doing that until it's accurate.
Nice.
And so that's how we, like, and we actually recognize that AI is not that smart, having been really day-to-day consumers and developers of the technology. And it's really necessary to have human developers like us create the infrastructure, and also humans like BCBAs to make sure that AI is getting fed in the right information, the right context, right? You don't ask a parent a question about a child's medical history. There's no way that any technology can help you write the medical history section of your treatment plan. And so incredibly, incredibly important to continue to have well-trained clinicians who know how to ask the right questions and get the right information.
Right. Because I guess my ultimate point here, and why I keep on going, like chat, I call ChatGPT chatty, by the way. So if I start saying chatty and you're like, what in the world are you talking about?
My friend chatty.
Yes, my friend chatty. But I think the biggest thing that I want BCBAs hearing this to take is that if you expect to take out all the PHI on your treatment plan and then upload that along with maybe the transcripts of your interactions with your client and upload that into a chat, a message, and expect that you are going to get an actual treatment plan that is accurate within the put, you're mistaken. And so I would urge you to not just take, I can't believe that ChatGPT said that. I guess that's what the parent said. So like it will just make stuff up, right? Like on the fly. So it's really important. And I'm glad that your system recognizes that, right? Because it's so important. And it, again, with the pressures that BCBAs are on to get these assessments complete as quickly as humanly possible so we can get a tech in there to start billing hours. My concern about AI, it's amazing, right? What it can do is so awesome. But at the same time, you can go down, like it can be so, with this field, it's going to lead you down the wrong track, especially if you're like, oh yeah, it worked yesterday. Perfect. So of course it's going to work today. And then you have such a confidence level in this thing that is completely making the wrong choices, right? So I think it may even be worse to rely on ChatGPT than just do a quick assessment with using your own, you know, eyes and ears and reasoning, right? And so I think that's where your system hopefully can help, is that it's actually going to take the information and use it correctly where
it's been trained.
Yes, because it's been trained.
You know how to make it work the way it needs to work. And you've done all of the research and the work behind the scenes.
Yeah, because I see a lot of BCBAs on Facebook and they're like, wow, AI is working great for me, right? Like I can go in and put a treatment plan in. And it's, again, my concern about is that everyone's just going to start using it. And then they're going to realize down the road, 6 months, wow, it put a lot of errors in here. I made a lot of mistakes on submitting this. I don't even know where this information came from, right? And so relying on ChatGPT alone or Gemini alone, I feel like that may be a mistake. And with all the pressures that BCBAs have, right, they're already doing things that are, right? And so if they're getting companies that are forcing them or pressuring them to use AI because everybody says AI is awesome, and they're not using the right tools, that this could lead to disaster, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I talk to a lot of the clinicians that use ChatGPT, and the time it takes them to get something ready for ChatGPT because ChatGPT is not HIPAA compliant seems like a lot. I don't know if it's more or less than the time they save but actually using OpenAI, but it takes a lot of time if you're truly going in there and removing all PHI, right? It's not just name, it's addresses, it's school, it's broad locations, it's dates of services. There's a lot of things that are PHI-esque that if you truly do it, it takes a lot of time to put into ChatGPT. And that's just de-anonymizing maybe a transcript of a parent interview because you did it via Zoom. How are you going to de-anonymize a medical record that's an image? I don't ask people that question because I don't want to push them too much. But that's why I thought it was really important to build a truly HIPAA-compliant wrapper so that there wasn't this step of going through and doing the de-anonymization that seems to add more time than it does value.
Yeah,
definitely adds more time. And then there's a human error too of like, accidentally leave a couple of pieces in there. And that, you know, most of the time, like, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But I mean, that's kind of like what we're looking at is like your level of comfort with, you know, the level of risk that is involved, you know, what may not be a big deal until it is a big deal. That's amazing. I mean, I'll be honest, when we first we were introduced to you by Dan and Mike, I feel like we could say now are good buds, right? So you know, they introduced you to us, and we were like, I don't know, like AI, we're not quite sure where we land, where we feel about this, right? And so we're always open to learn, and we're always open to meet new people and make those connections. And so then we got to have a conversation with you and learn more about your system and what you do at Alpaca Health. And, you know, that's why we brought you on. We were like, yeah, sure, come on, tell everybody, because, you know, all of those layers that you have in place, you know, we feel more and more confident that this is a good system, that this could really be a tool that could help BCBAs. And it's a safe tool. And it's, you know, of course, like, it's still a new science and still a new technology and it's growing, but it seems like you guys are really behind that and making those improvements, you know, as new things come out. How long have you guys been in business now? Relatively new, huh?
Relatively new. We've been doing this for 4 to 5 months at this point. We started probably a little bit before ABAI earlier this year. So really new. I think we've built a lot in a short amount of time, but there's still so much more to do. And that's why it's Alpaca Health Beta still. We want to get feedback from clinicians. We get people emailing us with, this didn't work, and we go fix it. And I want this, and we go build it. Because we want to make sure that whatever we build really is in collaboration with the people who are actually using it. When I think about some of the other older tools that are out there on the market, it's like very clear that it was designed by incredibly smart people who weren't actually using it on the data. So we wanted to make sure we didn't fall into that trap.
Yes, I mean, that's another reason that I'm really excited about you guys is because of that, like, ongoing growth and that accepting feedback. And I mean, that's like a shared value amongst ABA business leaders and you guys, is because that's super important, you know, to acknowledge that, hey, this is a start and, you know, we're growing and learning and we're taking that feedback and information from those people who are working using it on the day to day basis, because,
like, as far as like BCBA business owners that may be old school, you know, they got 10-15 years experience, I just need you to hear that if you think that you saying don't use ChatGPT is stopping people in your company from using ChatGPT,
totally,
I'm afraid you're mistaken. And so, like, it's like we can put our heads in the sand and say, oh yeah, my team doesn't use AI. Like, that's like saying 25 years ago, I'm not going to use Google, right? Like, come on. Like, insane. So, like, this is the path, right? Whether we want to be on this path or not, this is the path we're on. And so everybody, if you're not using AI, you're going to lose ground, right?
Yep.
And so it's really important that there are companies out there like you that are saying, okay, yeah, everybody's going to use AI, but here's the way, the right way to use AI, right? The safe way to use the AI, the secure way to use AI, with a focus from the company on a very niche field that needs that support. So I think that is really the most important thing, is that, like what I've learned as an engineer for years, if you think you have a system in good shape, I can guarantee you that your staff are using it way different than you intended, right? Like, even I'll talk to BCBAs and they say, well, we upload everything to our practice management software. So everybody uses that. And it's like, well, are you sure that your BCBAs have uploaded the latest treatment plan? Are you sure that that's where they're gathering addresses, or are they taking screenshots and downloading it and putting it on their own computer, right? Like, you have to make it easy and accessible for them, or they're going to do something that you didn't intend. And so, yeah, I think it's really important that there are companies out there like you that are supporting BCBAs in what is an inevitable path into the future, right? The AI is only going to become more integrated in our lives. Whether that's like Terminator 2 and it's the end of things, right? or maybe it's utopia, right? This is where flying cars and our hoverboards are going to come from, right? Like maybe. So I don't know where it's going, but
it's so funny because, you know, not that long ago, Stephen was like so skeptical about now AI. Like, yeah. He's like, oh, you know, he was like the grumpy old man, get off my lawn, right? Like, no, not going there. And now he's like incorporating it to all the new stuff we're building and making and, like, you know, and figuring out how to use it to the best of, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and I will say, I'm so excited that, you know, you're talking about like a niche area, right? And like ABA, and, you know, we're like the kid who gets left out of so many cool games, right? And so because we're so new, because we're so niche, and so it's really exciting to me that there is that, you know, opportunity for our field to be part of this new, you know, technology, and that is directed directly towards us, and that, like, you have some education background in, but that, like, you're going to ABAI and you're talking to BCBAs and you're, you know, meeting people in the field and learning more about it. And it's really exciting. So why don't we give you the opportunity to, show us a little sneak peek of what this is all about.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. So Alpaca Assistant, and I'll start sharing my screen here. Alpaca Assistant, it listens to your sessions and automatically writes the parent interview, automatically writes the session note and other documentation as well. So it looks something like this on your computer. But importantly, you can also use this on your phone when you're on the go, in between sessions, making it really easy to start using our tool. And so you can record a couple of different types of sessions, parent interviews, parent trainings, DT supervisions, and we even released a feature to help DTs with their session notes too. I'll select parent interview here just to kind of give you a snippet. And I asked April for her help before the show. So April, if you wouldn't mind pretending to be our BCBA when I click start recording, and then I will pretend to be a parent. And we'll test out how the tool goes. So this is Alpaca Assistant. It listens to all of your sessions and generates the session note, required documentation, and it even helps with treatment plan writing. And so this is what it looks like on your computer. You can also use our tool on a mobile device when you're in between sessions. And so you can record a couple of different types of sessions on our platform: parent interviews, parent trainings, DT supervision sessions, and even BTs can record their direct sessions on our platform as well.
Curious question for you. Can this do offline recording, or do you need internet access?
You do need internet access, but if your internet stops in the meantime, it'll save everything up to the point it stops. And then when you get back on, you can resume the recording. So I'll click parent interview here. We have multi-language support. So if you're having sessions in Spanish, French, we're adding a couple of other languages, we understand that. We'll transcribe it in the right language and be able to take notes for you in English. We enable a couple of different session types. So one-on-one interview is when you're doing your interview with a parent. If you have multiple people in the room, multiple parents, for instance, or guardians, you can do group sessions. And if you don't want to record the session, or you just forgot to, you can also do self-dictation and just dictate the summary of the session into our technology. So we'll try a one-on-one interview here. And April, if you wouldn't mind pretending to be a clinician, I'll pretend to be a parent and we'll riff for a couple minutes.
Well, hello. Good morning. All right. So let's say we're in the middle of our onboarding interview. So can you tell us if there are any medical history?
Yeah, no medical history issues there. I guess my our family doctor, pediatrician, we've known him for a while, actually. He prescribed a low dose of melatonin for my kid when he isn't able to get to bed, and also suggested a multivitamin supplement because he's a very, very picky eater.
Yeah, thanks for that. What about any behavior issues that are happening?
Eating at mealtimes, it's really rough. He only likes chicken nuggets, and anything else, he'll either not eat, or if he's really in a bad mood that day, throw the food around, throw it on the ground. And he'll do that at restaurants too. So we really don't take him out. We just try to feed him at home and hope for the best, honestly.
Ugh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one for sure, because it's so important for us to feed our kids. So it could be a really challenge all the way around. Well, what about the sleeping habits? What time is he going to bed, and what time waking up in the mornings?
Yeah, so we try to get him to bed at 8 o'clock. And the reason why is because it just takes him a long time. Usually he's actually sleeping at 11, sometimes 12, just because he gets really obsessed over his toy. I think they're called like Hot Wheels, you know, just like small cars. And he has this racetrack we bought him, and he really loves just like playing race car with himself. And sometimes if the TV is on, it's like be glued to the TV, and it's really hard to get him away from those things without him kicking and screaming and it being just a whole mess. So I guess that's why the doctor recommended sponsors of melatonin, just to make sure we try to get him to bed at a reasonable hour.
Right. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. Well, how does he get along with his siblings?
Yeah, he has one sister. They don't really interact. So he's 3 years old. His sister is 6 years old, and she kind of, she says he's weird, and it's just really heartbreaking. So they don't really play together. We don't go out to eat as a family. Sometimes like she'll go out to eat with their grandparents and we'll stay home with him, or vice versa. So it's, it's really difficult.
Yeah, that's really tough. What is a family goal that you guys have?
I think one goal could be to do some sort of family activity together. It can either be anything, a walk outside, maybe finding some toy that we all play with him. But I think maybe that would be really awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like a really great goal to strive for. Family time is so important.
Absolutely. All right. I think we've riffed for a little bit. You're definitely a better clinician than I am a parent.
I love like the realistic, little thing we did here, because on the parent's end, because that is most, especially if it's that initial assessment, initial interview. There's a lot of layers there. There's nerves, grief, just all of the parts, right? And we're scattered, and we just want to make sure we get all the information out. And it's not, very specific and point blank, very direct, right? It's not. It's a lot of in the interview, on the BCBA's end, sometimes we'll start talking too. And so it's it's a lot of words, right? And so it's going to be really interesting to see what the summary is going to be from that.
Yeah. And I tried to sort of be a parent, right? And
yeah.
Go on tangents and talk about the pediatrician who I've known for a really long time. Which is helpful to know, but probably not useful to have in your note for documentation and for treatment plan writing. And so this is the summary that it generated, with the goal of getting the key highlights from our.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, just for those who may be like driving down the road listening,
yes,
yeah. just a reminder for you guys, you can watch this on YouTube. You can see all of the screen shares here because I think it would be helpful to take a look at that. But I'm just going to read a snippet of the summary that it brought up here. The child is a 3-year-old male with potential developmental or behavioral challenges. He exhibits picky eating habits, limited to chicken nuggets and those food when upset, both at home and in a restaurant. This has led the family to avoid dining out. He has difficulty sleeping with a bedtime of 8 p.m., but often not falling asleep until 11 p.m. or midnight. This is attributed to obsessions with toys, particularly Hot Wheels, cars, and racetrack, and being glued to the TV. He has been prescribed a low dose of melatonin to aid sleep. Socially, he struggles to interact with his 6-year-old sister, who describes him as weird. Family activities are limited due to his behavioral challenges and difficulties with eating out. The family aims to incorporate more family activities, such as walks and playing together with toys. I think that was a beautiful summary and very accurate of all of the words that were being thrown around.
Yeah. Exactly. And it took no time, right? Like, literally took zero time.
Right, because even if you're, like, recording this, like, you know, like, if you're doing, I'm sure maybe some people record it, like, on their phones, like, an interview so they can go back.
So they can go back.
You know?
What did they say? Yeah, did I catch everything? Yeah.
That takes so long to know, right? No, that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we do have a transcription so that if AI does miss something important, or if you do want to figure out, hey, which grandparent does the kid spend time with, some of the details that maybe AI thought were not relevant for the summary, it's still all here.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. Yeah, I see that in the transcript here. Yeah. Speaker A, speaker B. Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And so then it takes this information and it will fill out. Am I correct that it will start filling out the documentation as well? Correct?
Yes. So.
Well, and I was like a little rusty. I was like, oh gosh, it's been a while since I didn't intake. What questions? Yeah. But like if you have like your company guide, like your, you know, the
medical questionnaire.
The medical questionnaire that you're doing and you have it and you have all the questions that, you know, the specific information that's needed, then it's going to have what's needed to fill in the blanks for your like questionnaire, right?
Exactly. And one of the features that we have for organizations is the ability to add that questionnaire so that you can just kind of reference it on your phone or on your iPad as you're recording to make sure you're really hitting all the dots. And our AI will actually give you suggestions about where to do follow-up questions to make sure you're getting all the details.
That's good. Yeah, because sometimes you get lost in all the words.
Well, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, no, I didn't ask that question. And then you have to, like, decide if it's worth chasing the parent down or do you just skip it for now or, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know the medical questionnaire, right? The intake forms, all of them. There's so many of them. So if you can just say, hey, I've gotten really good at this, right? I can do this during my interview now. And basically they're filling out like 99 to 100% of this form. So they don't have to fill it out, right? Like, you know, like you said, some parents are like, they're processing this newly diagnosed child. And it does bring a lot of grief and there's a lot of stress going on.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, I mean, are you
more than likely have 2 or 3 kids, right?
Right,
like,
right.
Dude, I got to go to soccer practice. I don't have time to fill out this medical questionnaire, right? Like, so I think that all of this just makes it so much easier, not just on the clinician side, but on the parent side as well, right? Because, I mean, we literally had people with our intake, right? They were going to get services through the school system, and we gave them our intake, and they were like, no. I'm not filling this up. Like, I don't care if this is free. Do you understand what you're making me fill out here? And like from our side, we're totally, there's a lot of empathy around that, but
we still need the empathy.
we can't do this until you fill it out. Right. So like how helpful this could be. And the other thing, like, the Spanish and French and like adding those other languages that, like, maybe you have an interpreter there, but they're not interpreting it because there's also that disconnect. While they may be a great interpreter, they may not be or understand ABA, right? And so that translation, there's maybe something gets lost in that. So even that, I think, is a really good feature to have. Yeah, it's that's really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, one piece that we've heard from parents about intake, and this is from parents, this is talking to parents, not the clinicians, is especially some of the younger clinicians, they're kind of typing notes on their computer since that's what they're used to from university. It's kind of easier to like use that to write your treatment plan on your computer rather than transferring it from your piece of paper. But then it makes the interaction feel so much more sterile and so much more like you're with your primary care doctor who doesn't care about you and is squeezing you in 15 minutes, right? That's actually the opposite of what we think ABA should be. And so my real hope with all of the technology we're building as we get back to the human side of ABA, instead of like, you know, like literally not making eye contact with the parent because you're busy scribbling or busy typing, you could actually have a conversation, have AI guide you through the conversation to make sure you're asking the right follow-up questions if you need that type of support, and have everything generated and remembered by a technology that is your assistant. So that you can focus on building relationships with parents, because ultimately, like, that's what's going to make the game-changing impact on the child and on the family, not remembering that John was born August 13th, August 23rd.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or like like the weeks of gestation. Like, who cares about these, right? Like, who? Like, I don't know any BCBA.
Right?
Yeah. It's I don't know any BCBA that has said, oh, we're going to start this program because they've, you know, like, no, nobody does that.
You're born 2 days after
Nobody's doing this, right? So, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, that's really cool that, yeah, that it can.
I have a question about just some logistics of how it might work. So one of our questionnaires is a risk analysis. And so it's going to take you from questions like, you know, especially for in-home services, like, are there any guns or weapons in the home? And if there are they, you know, how are they stored? Are they, if there are stairs, is there a handrail? But then like it goes into some more in mental health questions such as like suicidal ideations. And are there any history of drug abuse with it? But if the child that you're providing services for is 2 years old, suicidal ideation and drug abuse, things like that, it may not be applicable, right? Most likely are not.
I don't know if we can even say the word, but like, you know, pictures that you probably wouldn't want to look at, right? It's not appropriate for
that word.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to say that.
Okay.
Yes, I think that everyone will understand.
Right,
talking
that is a question. Is like, yes. Is there issues with looking at
addictions to that type of content?
And right. When you ask a parent of a 2 year old this, they're like, "What?"
Yeah,
you know?
They're like shocked, and they're kind of like appalled.
Yeah,
and so like. Would there be a way to weed out, like when I'm going through something like that in person, I just put in A and I don't keep going, right? If it's clearly, you know, if they're an older kid, you know, we'll have this conversation. Like even like nowadays, I feel like, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, you got to start having this conversation. But at 2 or 3 year old, like seriously, like I'm not putting that parent through that. I don't feel like it's ethical and it's okay to skip by some of those questions. Would AI be able to help you know like what questions are applicable and which ones aren't?
I think that's a great idea. We haven't built that out yet, but I think that's one of those like ideas that could be real game changers, especially for a lot of the younger BCBAs, right? Who are just like relying in many ways on this intake form as a script. And we want to sort of have it be a little bit more personalized to the family. Because yeah, it's like, I see that on the questionnaire. I'm like, if I was asked this question about my 2 year old, I'd be like, what is wrong with you?
What are you saying about me?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And I think I like that idea that it kind of guides you through the intake process
for
those newer BCBAs that just, you know, they didn't go to school for this, right? This is not an intake. Insurance intake is not on my list of things that I did at university. So
I'm good about asking about questions about behaviors and things like that. They're like, well, all this other stuff, like why is, it totally. So yeah, definitely. I'll be excited. Let us know when you have that next step out.
Yeah.
And
so, you know, with this parent interview, summarizing, creating this summary, you can do it in parent trainings, BT supervisions, direct sessions. The note is a customizable template. So your agency tells us what you want to generate, how you want it to be generated, a paragraph, text boxes, bullet points, you tell us. And we'll train the AI. And then I think the last really cool piece is you can actually take your parent interview, combine it with different documents that you have on hand, and generate an entire portion of your treatment plan. And I think that could be a real game changer too for clinicians who are really stressed about getting things done on time.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I'm so curious about how session notes work. You know, I could see them working more fluently in like a clinic setting where you have a little more control over the environment. I'm curious to know if you've had any in-home services, any providers that are providing in-home services have tried the session notes, if you've gotten any feedback from that.
Yeah, so I think parent training and BT supervision session, the ones that BCBAs or higher level clinicians are running, tend to be a little bit easier to use because they're keeping your phone with your, it's a one-on-one parent interaction. It's you and a BT and the kid, and you're sort of like giving the feedback into the phone. For direct sessions, it can be a lot more chaotic in any sort of environment. And so typically what we recommend to BTs is one of two options. The first is you just keep it on. And anytime you have an observation that you want in your session note, you just speak it out loud and your phone will pick it up. Or you could do it at the end of the session. Instead of taking 15 minutes to write Grammarly, spell check, session note, sometimes, right, they're not doing that. They can just talk into Alpaca Assistant in a sort of a stream of consciousness. You just kind of like brain dump everything you remember in the session. We'll do the work of synthesizing that into a note that's insurance compliant that meets your organization's quality standards.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see that being like a more easier. I can't think of the right word I'm looking for, but like to be able to do the dictation at the end, especially like if you're not a seasoned tech, and there's still a lot of moving pieces that you're trying to keep up with. And, oh, I got to do this too.
Well, even having the device out, right?
Sometimes that could be an issue with the child.
Our kid, right? You have the phone. What you doing?
The phone.
I'm trying to help. Let's do homework, right? The phone has to go all the way. Like, it just can't even be in the space.
Right.
So, that could probably be.
Yeah.
But I do like, because, again, this is another issue that we talk about so often, right? Like, RBTs are pushed to get these notes out, and there's so much incentive to just copy and paste. Oh, look, we did the same goal. Yeah. We were working on the same target, same goals as yesterday and the day before that. So I'm just going to copy and paste this really good note everybody loves and thinks is great. Now I'm going to paste it into the next one. Right. And can't do that. You like that. This is insurance fraud.
Right.
We can't do that. So I think that this can really help with that. And it can also be a teaching tool, right? Like, I was going to use this word, but AI said we have to use this because of my company's requirements and because, right? And it can really help with that too. And the other issue, again, which I'm sure a lot of people listening to this know, if you have a company standard already in place and the system knows that, it can flag it or change it so that the words that we know we're not really supposed to use in an insurance note. Because somebody's got to do that, right? Like, you have to do these in-house recoupment audits, essentially yourself, your own internal audits to make sure your notes are going to meet that standard. And with this system, you almost eliminate that, right?
Like,
and that's a huge amount of time, right? Because I mean, one of our BCBA friends, he did a TRICARE audit 6 months ago. And it was like 1,000 sessions, right? And so how much time is that taking? And I can understand the insurance side too. There's a lot of fraud going on. There's a lot of abuse and waste. Totally get it. But at the same time, when you know I'm doing everything right, like, why are you making me do this? And then you're spending hours and hours. And instead of training your staff, instead of going to parent training, instead of doing assessments, I'm doing an insurance audit, right? And so, like, that is such a waste of time. Yeah, I understand the reasoning and why you have to do it, but it is such a waste of time from a clinical standpoint, right? And that's not where you want your BCBAs to be, is
Absolutely.
Doing that, right?
Well, and I just keep thinking back to what you said. I never even thought about that, about people using various AI, you know, chat, GPT, all the ones, right? Even though they're not really supposed to.
Yeah, I totally know that.
Myself, like, because I was like, not doing it, whatever. Steven's like, just use ChatGPT. It'll just, here's a couple of prompts. It'll just help get you going. And because I have ADHD, and one of my things is, like, it's really hard for me to get started on something, especially if it's, like, a difficult email, or I want to make sure that, like, I'm, you know, like, putting something together, or I'm, you know, incorporating several different ideas or thoughts. And for it not to sound like it's a bunch of different thoughts, like, make it more cohesive. And so I've learned that, like, yeah, it's very helpful, right? And it's something easy and simple, and I don't have to worry about, like, I wanted to make something sound good, and I wanted to get started, and I'm going to be making it my own anyways. But it's a bit amazing tool for me. So if I were, you know, let's say if I had this, you know, a few years ago, when I was a tech, and heck yeah, yes. I would be like dictating into that.
100%. Yes, 100%.
And I had to be, nobody has to know.
Yeah, nobody has to know. Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to delete it afterwards. So it's
totally. Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. No, they are absolutely 100% doing that. And there are a few BCBAs that are very brave. And they're owning it. Like, dude, I use this, right? And then you see on Facebook that I can't believe you do that, right? Like, and all the ethical reasons and all this. But, like, people are using this, even, like, they're just quietly using it. Like, I'm not getting into this one, right? But they're totally using ChatGPT.
So let's give them a tool, a safe way of doing it.
There's just so much pressure on these. There's just... The amount of paperwork that has to be done over the last 10 years has grown substantially.
Yeah.
And the amount of billable hours has decreased. Like, we're going to require this of you, but we're not going to pay you for it. And the amount that they're being pushed to do this. I would say, rough estimate, 85% to 90% of BCBAs and RBTs are using ChatGPT in a way that you probably don't want
to, or inclined to, like, the more that they learn about, like, they it would be very possible for
them. I may be wrong. Maybe that's too high, but I'm pretty confident that that's what they're doing, right? Because even Google now, right? You Google something and AI pops up. That's the first thing. Whoa, this is right. Like, so they're like, oh wow, that's really good. I'm gonna try that, right? And then.
Yeah. I mean, even people like me who are like, yeah, no, I don't need that. And then I tried it once and I was like, this is very helpful.
Yeah.
This is very helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, how does someone get started? They're like, okay, Salt, I'm going to get this for my company. I want to set this up ASAP. Like, how do they get started?
Well, it's totally free. Give it a try. And that's what I tell every single clinician and business owner is, like, yeah, you're skeptical. I was skeptical. Just give it a shot. And if it doesn't work, then totally fine. Like, we'll part as friends and I'll see you at, you know, ABAI. But if you like it, then start using it and then start helping your team spend less time on paperwork and getting their evenings back instead of, like, typing documentation on CentralReach. They could just, like, hang out with their families. And so it's totally free. You can try out the note-taking feature, the treatment plan assistant, at our website, alpacahealth.io, or on my LinkedIn. It's really prominent where you can go sign up, and give it a shot. And if you like it, then we talk about how we can roll it out to your entire team. We help with the change management, with trainings, all the different things that we need to get an entire team on it. Because with our organization plan, all the clients are together, so you can see everybody and all the ways your team is using the product, all the notes in one place. You can customize note templates so they're tailored to your organization and your payers. And we have a bunch of really interesting things coming down the road, like an intake module that automates verification of benefits, eligibility checks, helps with prior auths. So some really interesting things coming down for larger agencies that need support on the admin side too.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Well, is there anything that we didn't touch on today that you want to make sure that you get to relate to our listeners?
No, I mean, I think we covered most of the big things. So I appreciate you asking really good questions and having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very thankful that we were able to put this together today and make it happen. So I'm very excited. All right. Well, thank
you. I just want to say one more time, because I think it's really important that if you're like, if you have an ABA company and you don't think that your staff are using AI, I would urge you to just maybe take a poll, an anonymous poll, and see. I just need to know, guy. I'm not gonna get you in trouble. I just need to know. Give me some honest feedback here, and I can guarantee there's gotta be some people using it. So I would urge you to just go to the website and try it out, and give your team the correct way, a safe way, a secure way to actually use it. That's it. And again, it's free, right? So why not try it and give your team that HIPAA compliant way to use ChatGPT in a good way, right? With all those other benefits that you're actually going to put in a report or an interview, and it's going to give you the right stuff. It's not going to make stuff up, right? Like, oh, it didn't get the date of birth. Well, I put it in ChatGPT, and ChatGPT gave me a date of birth, right? Like, oh yeah, it's really good at that, right? And so, like, we want to avoid those things, and so this will help with that. So
yeah,
good points.
Yeah.
Well, maybe one last thing for me, Ben, off that, I think that, you know, as when I talk to people who aren't agency owners or business owners, it's like line clinicians, there's a reason why they're turning to AI tools, right? It's in many ways not because they're lazy. It's not because they just want to get out of work, right? They just like want to like lounge and watch TV. It's because they have like this mound of paperwork of piling up. I talked to an owner who had session notes that were 3 months old from their admissions because the start of the school year was especially chaotic this year. Like that's a problem that clinicians are facing. Right now, the only solution they feel they have is either to crank through it and just like lose their weekends for a month, or use ChatGPT. And while I don't think the latter option is the best approach, it is not crazy to me in a field where there's huge amounts of turnover, huge amounts of burnout, why clinicians are turning to that option. And so, you know, for me, I think about this as a way to help agency owners position themselves as the most provider friendly, clinician first, we give you the tools to do your job and not the paperwork, way to kind of stand out to staff when it comes to recruitment too. I totally agree, right? It's like, might as well go with the safe option. They're using ChatGPT anyways, but also they're using ChatGPT for a reason. They're facing a problem that you as an owner can help solve for your staff and for future people who might join.
100%.
Yes.
You said that beautifully. I mean, we just ended our I Hate My Job series,
and we
just started recording yesterday on, you know, how can we help? And, you know, I was like, oh, well, we're going to go ahead and get Michael in here to record, because I think, you know, we'll do a bonus, which we are going to be doing a bonus. This is as a bonus. You guys get to hear us all twice in 1 week. But I thought, like, to myself, it's like kind of a one-off, right? But no, it's very much.
It's a really how can I help?
Completely part of how can we help? And I really thank you. I'm so glad that we landed on this as the ending of this, because this absolutely, people aren't doing this just because they're lazy and trying to get out of work. This is like, this is a necessary tool to help them to have a better quality of work and life.
Yes. And like, again, most of this paperwork, again, especially if you're taking low quality notes, maybe you're not using ChatGPT, you're an honest person, I know I can't do it, and so I'm just giving a really bad note because I don't have enough time to do all these notes, and so now the BCBA takes this note and they can't use it because it doesn't have the right data, it doesn't have the master targets, it doesn't have the information that they actually need to make changes to the program to help the child, right? And then the other thing I will say, as far as a business owner, every business owner out there, I can guarantee you, well, again, 98% of you, maybe not everyone, but they struggle with getting notes in on time, right? Everybody talks about this. Oh, how do I get my notes in on time? And like, I hear this all the time. I slacked off. I didn't push my techs or my BCBAs to get their notes in on time. And then I had a tech leave. Now there are 3 weeks of session notes. I don't have any more. Like, let's not do that, right? Because this is, it's a very difficult skill to get right because of the changing insurance requirements, because that you took a 40-hour course and maybe you have a bachelor's degree and you're not a scholarly wordsmith. You got a psychology degree and
you're really good at working with
kids. Yeah, we're really good with working with kids.
Yeah.
I love working with kids, but I don't want to do this paperwork. So why do we make them do it? We have that tool now, right? That can really help with that. So, and it's free. Why not try it, right?
So obviously we could go on and on and on and gush about this tool.
I really appreciate that you're in this space. And I think that it's using the technology that is inevitable in our lives in a good way that can really make meaningful change, right? And so why not use it? I appreciate that you're doing it, because especially small ABA practices, if they want to stay in this space, they have to be competitive. And this is a way to, you know, be able to be competitive against these bigger organizations that have more resources and infrastructure that a single BCBA business just doesn't have the ability to take that on. So this is it gives them that leg up, right?
Yeah.
So,
So as soon as this podcast ends, go look up Michael Gao at Alpaca Health, and we'll put the links
up
in the notes of wherever you're watching or listening then. Yeah. Then Michael, thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for all the work that you're doing for our field. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.